just the facts.
It's a fact that fall walleye love crankbaits. If you want to catch more fish this fall, make sure you're using the right crankbait shape. Remember, as fall wears on, bait fish are getting bigger, so I want to make sure we have big baits that entice the fish and matches what they're eating. For thin, long, skinny bait fish, make sure we use a long, skinny bait to imitate it. And if fish are on big shad style crankbait is going to catch you more fish. Pay attention to the shape. Fish are really picky this time of year, and it's important that we get the right shape of crankbait to catch more fish this fall.
Just the facts.
Anglers into Coffee Hour Plus. It is September 14th. Hard to believe that we are halfway through September already, rolling into fall fishing season, getting ready to enjoy some of the best fishing of the year. We're kind of in that transition from summer to fall, which is our topic this month on the Teaching Fishing Anglers Club in September. We're talking about the transition from summer to fall and the challenges that it presents and how you can take advantage of it. Because, you know, if you want to keep catching fish in September, early October, before we get post turnover, it's important to understand that transition from summer to fall. And that is our topic for Teaching Fishing Anglers Club this month in September. If you're interested in joining, you can scroll down a little bit below the video here, and there is a link to the Anglers Club. Get signed up and you can get dialed in on what we're talking about in September. You'll also notice on the screen is a card for our Fishing Education Weekend coming up November 3rd to the 6th in Huron, Ohio. This is kind of the first stepping stone or building block, if you will, to kind of get us ready for that great fall fishing. We still have obviously spots available for the fall trip. We are limited in the numbers, and we are, as of right now, still running the $50 discount. So there is a discount on early signup. That will stop when we get to a specified number of signups. I'm not going to tell you how many that is or how close we are, but we will definitely stop that at some point. So if you're interested in coming, get yourself signed up now and get the maximum savings for the Education Weekend or our Master on the Water course down in Huron, Ohio on November 3rd through the 6th. Everything's included you need to enjoy 4 days of fishing, breakfast, lunch, or breakfast, dinner, lodging, fishing meeting every morning, seminars every night, a chance to share information on the water with the whole group. A lot of our staff will be there. I got a lot of really cool new workshops that are going to happen. We'll have some sonar training going on, some boat rigging evaluations going on, rod calibration for your line counters. Lots of really cool stuff coming up this year. A lot more, I'm calling workshops or periphery stuff to do. So we'll keep you guys busy both in the morning and in the afternoon before and after fishing. Just a lot going on. So we'd love to have you there. It's a great time if you haven't been. All right. Hope everybody is doing well. I'm sure I saw Gary Sack is getting ready for early doe season. There's a lot going on right now, but I want you to start thinking about that great fishing in the fall, because it is a great time to fish, and it's the time to catch big trophy walleye. I think more than, you know, April, I think here in our part of the world, fall is a much better time to catch trophy fish, and nowhere better than for us here in this part of the world, Lake Erie, which is where we're headed for our Fishing Education Weekend, November 3rd through the 6th. Get signed up for that. Again, link is below the video. So let's talk a little bit about crankbaits. Now, I'm a big crankbait fisherman in the fall. I love cranks. Big walleyes love crankbaits. Walleyes in the fall love crankbaits. Crankbaits and spoons. Spoons have started to really catch on. As the water isn't cooling quite as fast as it used to, when we get our early November fishing, we're fishing a lot out in deeper water, 45, 50, 52 feet of water. So we are running some more divers. We actually ran last year we ran the downriggers a little bit, and spoons really shine behind dipsies, jet divers, behind downriggers. Spoons for walleye is an absolutely 100% overlooked presentation. So I put them in here tonight. Let me take a real quick drink and we will get rolling. Okay, so let's talk about fall crankbait shapes. First thing I want you to notice, I didn't bring this into another slide, but I want you to notice the slide over here on the right of that slide that's in the lower part of the screen. I want you to, number one, look at the number of shad that are in that fish's belly, and number two, the size of those shad. So that was a fish that Duncan caught. That was about a 27, 28-inch fish, and it had, I think, 9 shad in it. In its belly, and the smallest shad was 5 inches, and it still ate a crankbait. So understand that fall is gorge time, and these fish are going to bite, and they love to bite crankbait. So let's talk about some basics for fall crankbait shapes. All right, so how are we going to kind of determine? How are we going to get in our box? How are we going to go to the store? How are we going to determine what we need to have? Pretty simple. It goes back to something that we have preached here for ever at Teaching Fishing. I think the first seminar I ever did, we talked about bait fish. You have to understand what kind of bait fish are available for the game fish you're chasing, what kind of bait fish is available for them to eat, because it's important that you match the size, shape, and action of any lure that you're going to use, crankbait, spoon, spinnerblade, that you match that size, shape, and action to the bait fish that are around. So we have to understand what kind of bait fish we're dealing with. Most places that we fish for fall walleye, it is shiners, shad, and if we're in deep enough colder water, we may say smelt, we may see smelt, ciscos, and other deep water bait fish. So those are the three basic where we normally do our fishing. Shiners and shad, obviously, are the two big ones. Bait fish are at their max size in fall. You know, you're going to see some shiners that are, you know, the width of your fingers, maybe a little wider, some 3.5, 4, 5, maybe even 6-inch shiners. Shad obviously get, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 inches this time of year, and walleyes will eat them. So understand that bait fish are at their maximum size this time of year. So size 5, size 7s, maybe even size 9s, that's, put that stuff away, right? Don't bring it. You're going to catch a lot more fish concentrating on bigger baits. Number three is something I truly believe in. Too big is better than too small. If the fish are eating 5-inch bait, you're better off to fish a 6-inch lure than you are a 4-inch lure. You're better off to miss on the long side. And I would tell you, one of the gaps that I think exists today in the walleye lure world is big enough crankbaits, right? So you know, this is a Reef Runner 800. They make the 900, but the 900 is this long, and it's really big and really wide, and it's just a different bait. It's more of a musky bait. I would love to see a walleye-style bait, a little bit lighter bait, a little bit narrower bait, you know, spread out from a 5-inch body out to a 6 or 7-inch body. Nobody's doing that, right? I'd like to see a DHJ. We have DHJ 12s and DHJ 14s. I'd love to see a DHJ 17 or 18. You know, same thing with the band. I'd love to see a bandit that's that same basic shape, maybe a little bigger at the head, and gets another 1.5, 2 inches long. Walleye Nation Creations Reaper, a shad bait. I'd love to see this bait instead of a size, you know, 9 or 11. I'd love to see it, you know, in a 14 or a 15. I think we could really do some damage with some bigger walleye style crankbaits. Problem is, you go much bigger than what's available, and it becomes a musky style crankbait. Bigger hooks, bigger split rings, the body's wider, and it doesn't have that same walleye action. So if you're listening, you're a lure manufacturer, have the ear of a lure manufacturer, help me out. I need some size 8, 17, 18 crankbaits that are walleye crankbaits and built with walleye hardware and built with a walleye wiggle. Walleye are gorging, so they're looking for an easy meal. The bigger the bait, the easier it is. Remember, fall time, here's what's one of the things important to remember. Fall time is a season of stocking up to get through the winter and the spring and the spawn, right? So these fish, they're looking for the maximum return, maximum amount of calories in with the least amount of calories out. So it's a lot easier to eat 6 or 7 big bait fish than it is to chase, you know, 1.5-2 inch bait fish around all fall, right? So maximize the size of your bait. Don't be afraid to go too big. Too big is better than too small. Action is a key. We're going to talk about action a little bit tonight too. Make sure you have options. Make sure you have baits that have a slow roll. Make sure you have baits that have a wiggle. Make sure you have baits that run, when you get them in the water, they run nose down at a pretty aggressive angle. And then make sure you've got baits that run flat. Make sure you've got baits with big bills. Make sure you've got baits with small bills. We'll talk about that in just a second. Okay. So all those things are absolutely 100% important. Okay. So what are some of my favorites? Long minnow baits with big bills, DHJ 12s, DHJ 14s, the big bandit, P10, the top 20, I'm sorry, P10's a shell, the top 20, which is the deep diving version of this. Make sure you got some long minnow baits with big bills. Then obviously make sure you've got those same baits with short bills. Now here's what's important. And then large shad baits with big bills, I think, are a big deal. I'll talk about why that's important. I'm gonna save the spoons for later, but look at, we talk about this. We've got some other Just the Facts. Go look at our Just the Facts library. We talk about crankbait bills. I think we've got some of our On the Water on our YouTube page, the quick. I think we're on the water talking about bill shape. Bill shape is huge because I can take the same bait. So I can take this Perfect 10, and the top 20 is the exact same lure, just with a big deep diving lip. Same way I can take a Reef Runner 800 with a big diving lip and take a Reef Runner 700 with same exact body, short bill, completely different action. Remember, the shorter the bill is, the more the bait is going to roll, right? The more it's going to have that traditional Rapala minnow roll, right? The bigger the bill is and the further it extends down, the more that bait is going to have a rear end wiggle side to side. Okay, so we've got a wobble with a small bill and a wiggle with a big bill. Now, okay, that's great. I got deep and shallow, but my question to you, and I don't want to go too far into this. This is a whole nother part of this process, but I want to just kind of make you aware of it. Sometimes running a big billed bait with a big bill action shallow, 6, 8, 10 feet behind the board, is more effective than running a shallow bait shallow. Sometimes getting a shallow bait with that slow roll down 20, 22, 23, 25 feet deep is a better fish catcher than a bait that's designed to go deep because the action is completely different. So make sure you've got long minnow baits with big bills, long minnow baits with short bills, and then large shad baits with big bills. I don't put shad baits with small bills because shad have that side-to-side very aggressive wiggle. And there's no sense this time of year specifically having shad baits with a small bill that don't have that wiggle, because that's how shad move through the water. Shad move through the water pretty quick. So we definitely want our shad baits to have big bills. Okay. And then last but not least, large spoons. I think spoons are becoming a much bigger deal. This is the typical Warrior Flutter spoon. This is a big spoon for summertime fishing, right? Mike just came out with the XL Flutter spoon, which is a little bit bigger. A little bit longer and a little bit thicker profile. But if you notice, one of the things we talk about when we talk about action is salmon spoons have a bigger rear end than a nose. So they roll like this, right? Walleye spoons, even this long flutter spoon, is basically the same width from nose to tail. It doesn't get wider in rear end, which means it snaps. It has that very aggressive walleye spoon action that's much better than that slow, lazy roll of a salmon spoon, okay? So the Flutter Spoon by Warrior, and I would tell you in the fall, the XL Flutter Spoon is going to be dynamite behind divers and behind Leadcore and behind downriggers down in the fall. I think it's going to be a huge addition to our arsenal, okay? All right, that's kind of it. That's kind of a quick overview of lure shape for fall lures. Hit me up. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got any comments? Anything that they want to add to that? So we can kind of start getting our discussion going here about what fall baits are all about. All right, any questions, any comments? There we go. What are some shad baits to use? So a couple of shad baits I like. My favorite right now is the Reaper from Walleye Nations Creations. They're big Reaper. Again, I wish they made one that was a little bit deeper, a little bit longer, but still thin. I have fish Rapala Super Shad Wraps behind Leadcore. I do like those, but they're just not that they're too big. They're just not what a lot of guys would call a walleye bait. So guys shy away from them, right? So that Walleye Nation Creation Reaper is my one. Yes, Maglips is another one that are awesome. Thank you, Leo. Yakima Maglips, another bait that's a great option for a big build shad bait this time of year. That's another great option. There aren't a lot of them, unfortunately. There just aren't a lot. I mean, I would love, you know, a deep shad wrap 14 instead of the super shad wrap, which is again more of a musky bait with big hooks, big hardware. It just looks big. It doesn't look like a walleye lure. That makes sense. So if they could, you know, if we could take the same profile of a shad wrap or a flicker shad and make it in a 12 or a 14 millimeter bait, I'd be all excited. Why do we want a smaller, compacter bait deeper in the water? I use that same principle of bass fishing. So curious, why when trolling open water deeper? So one of the things that a smaller, more compact bait, again, going from, you know, typical walleye baits to baits that are bigger and musky style baits. The big issue when you're trying to pull those big kind of musky baits with walleye tackle is a couple things. Board sag is one issue. Your boards are out of line. You can't really do anything with them. Options to go to the bigger offshore tackle board, go to the salmon board and pull those bigger lures. It puts a lot more strain on our regular walleye gear, right? So, knots and all that, when you're pulling a bigger bait that has a lot more water resistance, it definitely makes a difference. The other thing I think, to kind of come back to this question, compact baits deeper in a water column, I think a lot of it has to do with how fish in the fall, particularly how they feed, right? I like to go big baits because that's what they're feeding on, but there is something to be said about smaller big baits. Because now the fish can literally get that whole lure in their mouth, and you'll see in the fall, I mean, you'll catch a fish and just the bill will be sticking out. I mean, they will absolutely kill it. And if you get baits that get to be too big, they can't do that. So your hooking percentage actually can go down with a big size lure not designed for walleye. But that makes sense. Tim says, what is the key to F water? I'm assuming he's talking about fall water temperature. Tim, if that's wrong, let me know, but I think that's what you're asking. My number is 55, right? We get to 55, we are in post turnover. The water is kind of settled. The water is the same temperature from top to bottom. Fish are on the feed. 55 is a good number. We get to 52, it's on. We get to 50, call in dead and go fishing. Because it's rolling. 52 is kind of the number that we normally see in Ohio. Larry says, what's your go-to to achieve deeper fish in the fall? So, you know, Larry was on the boat with me last year, and we did a lot of things, right? Obviously, deep diving crankbaits, right? Deep bandits. I still love reef runner. I'm still a reef runner guy. Deep bandits, obviously. Top 20s, all those baits are awesome, but I'm not against, especially in the fall time, a 2 or 3 ounce snap weight, in front of a Husky jerk or in front of a P10. I'm definitely not against that. There are, again, there's times to get a shallow water action deep that's going to catch more fish than a lure with a deep water action. Again, that big bill, when you add a big bill, you get this. When you run a small bill, you get this. Much different action, right? Much different action. So I'm not against snap weighting shallow diving lures to get them down 25, 30, 35 feet. I'm not against crankbaits, you know, bandits, reef runners down that way. Now, I don't like to run, I don't want to go into this too far, but I don't like to run more than about 100 feet of line out. So if I've got to go to 120, 150, 160, 180 to get a crankbait down to 27, 28, 30 feet, I'm going to run a 2 ounce snap weight. I'm going to run the 50 plus two in the precision trolling, and I'm going to shorten my lead. I don't like to run any longer than 100 feet because now you got all that line out there. It just creates issues. It creates tangles. I don't like to run more than 100 feet. And this year, you will definitely see some bigger dipsies in my boat, and you'll definitely see the TrackStack riggers on. That's something that I'm going to put on the corners and run that. So. Mitch says, was warmer water temp the main reason chromes worked last November? I think two things. Good question, Mitch. Now, look, I didn't run a lot of chrome. I'm not a chrome guy. 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about my favorite fall crankbait colors. So we'll talk about metallics versus non-metallics. But as the water is warmer and as the water is clear and the sun is up, metallics can definitely be better. That's what we had last year. We had a little bit warmer water. We had, you know, mid to high, you know, mid 50s, 55, 56, 57. We never got down to that magic 52. We had very, very clear water, actually green, perfect. It was green with a little bit of stain, but it was clear water. And we had sun. We had beautiful days. So that does absolutely create a situation where chromes, be it gold, metallic, or gold, copper, silver, even some, you know, metallic blue, metallic reds, metallic oranges. Metallics do sometimes perform better in those colors. I still stuck with my stuff, and we'll talk about that, like I said, in 2 weeks. Sean says, what speed do you pull spoons? You know, again, I'm a fast troller. I go as fast as I can go. The beauty of the Warrior Flutter Spoons is you can fish them up. You know, we've had them at 4, 4.2, and they don't blow out. And we can fish them, you know, down to 1.2, 1.3, and they still snap. So don't get caught up into, I'm fishing a spoon, I can only go so fast. That's wrong. The right spoon, you can fish at all kinds of speeds. And for me, without question, the best spoon I've found for multiple speed ranges, from very slow to very fast, is the Warrior spoons in general, the Little Warrior, or I'm sorry, the Flutter spoon and the XL Flutter in specific. So I usually start in Ohio, you know, in the fall time. If the water's above 55, I'll start at 26, 27, 28. If I'm catching fish, I stay there. Once we get down to about 55, I may start at, you know, 25, 26. And then, you know, we get down around 52, you know, I'm starting at 2.2, 2.3. I can always go slower, right? The problem is if you start at 1.6 and start catching fish, most guys aren't going to speed up. So you never know that 2.2 caught more and or bigger fish because you never get there. So I start fast and then I let the fish tell me you can't go that fast. And I start to slowly back down. I try to fish as fast as the fish will let me. If that makes sense. If they'll let me go 2.2, I'm going 2.2. So I don't get caught up in all the lures that I run. If you tune them correctly, crankbait wise, and you're right in the right spoon, you can go down to 1.6 and up to 3, 3.5 without changing your spread. So there you go. Leo says, can you run a slider spoon off a downer? Is it considered a separate line? A true slider. Where it is a, you know, a lure, a leader, a crankbait snap. So you put your downrigger rod down to the ball and you snap that free slider on that. As long as it stays hooked to the line, it is not a separate line. It's another hook another lure on one rod. But as long if you on if you on snap it, if you on snap it, it becomes an line. That's why you can't throw the spoon in and then snap the leader. You have to snap the leader first. Now it's attached to that rod, and then throw the lure. If you throw the lure in, and you're hanging on to the leader and it's not snapped yet, now it's considered another rod, even though it's in your hand. So you have to snap that slider on first and then throw it out the back, and then you're good. But yeah, you can absolutely do that without question. You can do, we actually caught fish last year. I don't know if Chris McCauley's watching, but we were kind of joking. We had such a good bite today. I took the staff guys out. It was just stupid. Chris actually took a piece of fluorocarbon, 6 foot leader, tied it to the downrigger ball. Literally tied it to the downrigger ball and put a lure on it, and we caught fish on it. You can see the downrigger line going like that. We cranked it up and the ball came to the top and we netted the fish. So if you think fish are scared of downrigger balls, you're wrong. Larry says, what are your thoughts on scent and cold water? I'll tell you what, water gets to 60 degrees, I'm putting scent on everything. That's just me. Spoons, crankbaits, if I'm fishing, you know, jigging stuff, I'm putting scent on everything. Once we get below 60, we get below 55, I'm absolutely 100% anal about it. Just a little drop, of Emerald Shiner on the back, a little drop of Gizzard Shad on the back, just something to help. I think the colder the water is, the more scent's a big deal. And like I said, once we get down below about 60, I'm definitely a Procure guy. And once we get down about 60, everything I put in the water has some scent in it. Chris says, how many fish caught till you start to go in? Great question. How many fish caught till you start to go all in on a body shape or just keep mixing it up? There's actually, that's a great question, Chris. There's actually a couple parts to that. The first part is how many rods do I have, right? If I've only got 6 rods in the water and I'm catching fish on minnow baits, I may only keep 1, maybe 2 shads in and switch 4. I will tell you this, I never switch my whole spread because I'm constantly trying to find something else. And remember, this isn't tournament fishing, right? Tournament fishing is a different animal. But I'm trying to find, always trying to find something else. And a lot of days on the boat, I'm trying to find something weird. I like finding something weird that works. Just me, you know. So if I've got 6 rods out, or you know, you get 4, you know, on the pontoon on the Anger Quest, you get 5 guys in the boat. You know, that's 15 rods, right? We're gonna run 12 rods. So, you know, I can leave 12 if it's definitely a minnow bite. I can leave. I got 12 rods out. I can leave 8 or 9 out and still play with 3 or 4. And I've still got a really good. Really good spread. So part of it depends on how many lines I have out. Part of it depends on what I'm trying to accomplish that day. Am I trying to catch a bunch of fish? Is that a big deal? Do I really want to catch 40? Or am I okay with 20 and some of my lures not working? And then the other thing I think that's probably most important after those two, the actual, so those two are kind of mental questions you got to ask yourself. The third one is kind of a practical on the water presentation question. Is how big of a difference is it? If I've got, let's say I got 2 guys in the boat and I'm fishing 6 rods and I've got 3 minnows and 3 shads mixed in, and my first 7 fish come on a minnow, I'm probably going to pull 2 shads out. If it's 2 to 1, I may keep playing, right? You know, you start getting to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to 1, it's time to change. It's time to change. I would tell you though, the problem that I see a lot of guys make though, Chris, is they get on the minnow bite, they switch everything to minnows, the bite gets a little off or slows down, and they don't go back to trying new things. They kind of accept that, okay, bite's down. Well, maybe it's not. Now it's time to reset your spread again. Spoons, different size crankbaits, different shape crankbaits. Now it's time to restart, right? So I think sometimes when guys find something and it's working and they switch, the tendency is to be lazy. And when the bite goes a little bit south or a little bit off, especially you got a bunch of fish in the live well, bite gets a little bit off, they don't go back and start through the process again. So that's just some of my thoughts on that. That's a great question. Mitch says, still keep one or two crank. Yeah, I always have fish, always have baits in the water that have a low frequency rattle. A Bandit being my favorite, right? The Reaper does okay. I'd like to have it, see it have a little bit bigger rattle. P10s and top 20s. Definitely have a big rattle in them. So P10s, top 20s, Bandits, I always have. I try, again, my situation I love because I have, I can run 8, 10, 12 rods, right? I try to keep one bait with a low frequency rattle on each side of the boat. And I usually try to keep it close to the boat because I honestly believe it makes a big difference. I really do. I think it makes a big difference. So, yes, I still keep a couple cranks in the water all the time that have a low frequency rattle. And I'm telling you, if you guys really pay attention and you do your homework and you keep your records like Jimmy Mick does, you'll find out that you're catching fish and that some days that crankbait with a rattle isn't catching anything. But the minute you take that crankbait with the rattle out of your spread, the bite goes soft. So you have to look at, when you're trolling, you have to look at all of your rods as a whole. Each bait is doing something different, right? It's a different size, different shape, different action, different color, different sound. Each one of those baits is doing something different. So you have to think of your spread, be it 6 rods, 8 rods, 10 rods, 12 rods. You got to look at your spread as a whole. So you're thinking in 6 rods, 8 rods, 12 rods. What am I trying to accomplish with each lure? So that's a big deal. That's a big part of it. So there you go. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else before we wrap this up? Hopefully this will get you guys thinking, going through your tackle boxes. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about my favorite crankbait colors for fall. So I'm sure that will be a lot of discussion. So be ready for, I'm sure, some good conversations there. All right, before you leave tonight, again, scroll down. Their sign up is right there for the Fishing Education Weekend. If you're interested in the Anglers Club, if you're not a member of the Anglers Club, please check it out. Just an amazing, amazing group. We've got some really cool things coming in 2023. Mike and I have been talking kind of how to give you guys more and give you some different content, kind of some stuff we've never talked about before. And as always, if you have a question, scroll down here. Sean, I've got your question. I'm going to get to all those from the live Q&A. Last week, I've got 6 or 7 questions. I'm going to get to those answers via email tomorrow. That's my goal for first thing tomorrow. But if you got some more comments or questions about what we talked about tonight, just scroll down and you'll see the after sessions, comments, and questions. Send us an email and your comment or question will take care of it. And if you haven't yet, guys, please scroll down all the way to the bottom. Find where it says newsletters and enter your email address so we can get you on our newsletter. We got a lot of really cool things coming up through the newsletter starting in January. Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for your time tonight. Really appreciate you checking in this late at night. Golf is over in a couple weeks, so we can kind of start going back at 8 o'clock. Summertime, I wanted to give everybody as much time as they could to enjoy The evenings are done now. So a couple of weeks, we'll be back to 8 o'clock, which will make it a lot better for everybody involved. So, all right, guys, thanks for your time. Remember to sign up for the Fishing Education Weekend. We've only got so many spots to give you that discount. Make sure you get signed up. Tell your friends. Make sure we've got a full house this year. It'd be great to have 80 people there this year. So let's get our friends, get them invited. Tell everybody about it. Get them ready to go so we can enjoy. The more guys we have, the more fun it is. So let's see if we can get to 80 guys. That's our goal this year. Let's see if we can get to 80 anglers. All right, guys, have a great night. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you back here next time on Teaching Fishing Coffee Hour Plus.